Death stalks the streets, but apparently Death is not bothered about Tempelhofer Feld, where people are just lounging around in the spring sunshine, not feeling any dread. Meanwhile, Angela Merkel and her fellowship of ministers decide it's time kids went and did their Latin exams, pandemic or no pandemic. Megan's Megacan is here to fill you in with the help of Jim Beam's finest.
Evening, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of Megan's MegaCan. It's another lockdown edition. God knows what number it is by now. I'm Megan. We are here in partnership with Ex Berliner magazine. And I'm also here via the wonders of the internet with Konrad Werner.
Hello.
How are you today?
I am fine. Thank you.
I enjoy your robotic responses.
I did them deliberately robotic because I thought it would be easier to edit afterwards if I left a little pause and made sure not to speak when you're speaking. And I thought then it would be easier for me to edit later.
Okay.
Now yes. We can talk normally. Now I will start talking normally again.
Okay, good.
Normally just do that.
I mean, I'm
glad... behind the veil. We'll have to get used to this. But maybe not for much longer.
Maybe not for much longer. We can discuss that, the lockerung, the relaxation of the measures shortly. But booze, first of all.
Yeah.
First, what have you got? Usually I buy the mega cans. That's like my only thing that I contribute to this of genuine consistency and worth. But you have to pick your own mega cans now.
I know.
And what have you gone for, Conrad?
The agony of choice. Jim Beam Lime Splash.
Ooh, that's kind of summery. I've also gone from summer one. I've gone for one of the special Jim Beam ones for summer, which is the Jim Beam Black Iced Tea Lemon.
Oh, that looks amazing.
Yeah, I think I like this one. I think they brought it out 2 summers ago, maybe. And I didn't like it initially, but now I do.
Wow.
Very sweet.
Right.
But
well, they're all sweet.
Well, I mean, they're all sweet. The gin ones, no, they're still very sweet.
My Spacey did not have that option. I did not have an iced tea option. I shall file a request.
It just opened whenever, like last time I saw you, just at the end of the time before.
Yeah.
And they seem like they had quite a good Megacan selection, but yeah. No iced tea.
It's really funny. He has the gin ones in a separate fridge. And we've had the same conversation 3 times where he goes, well, I go to the big fridge where all the Megacans are and I look around. And because I'm like, I dither a little bit trying to choose which one I really want to have. He always says, oh, the gin ones are here. And then I go, look, oh, well, yeah. Oh, yeah, I see now, the gin ones. And then I go, I don't really like the gin ones, though. I'm just dithering over the ones that I like. Maybe he just thinks that they're special and they should have their own box.
Okay, let's...
Cheers.
Ooh, quite feisty.
Yeah. Oh.
Woo!
That means that's a balm to the soul. On a Friday night.
A balm to the soul on a Friday night. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Right.
How is Germany doing?
Well,
because it's like with schools, it's like the Corona League tables now.
Right.
Who's got the good numbers? Who's got the bad numbers? Whose leader's saying crazy shit in the media?
Well, according to the website covid19.healthdata.org, which is apparently partly funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, just to put that in there, this special data website, they have decided that Germany is over the hump, 4 days over the hump, apparently. Woo! That means 4 days after the peak resource use. Peak healthcare resource use. So
okay.
That is obviously good news if it's true, if we can trust the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation's data on this. But it means that we are not short of hospital beds and ICU beds and all that kind of stuff. And we shouldn't be from now on. But, and then that is, of course, obviously that is contingent on the fact that we have got a lockdown on and people are not infecting each other. So it has nevertheless caused a lot of political pressure to loosen the lockdown. Not specifically that, but... And so Merkel had a big meeting, a big Zoom meeting.
A big Zoom meeting. Wouldn't you love... I mean, I'm sure that lots of people listening have a different relationship to online conferencing, regardless of your area of work or anything, than they did 4 weeks ago.
Right.
I did not know that I would have opinions on the difference between Google Hangouts and Zoom. I do. I'm having Zoom-related nightmares.
What are your opinions?
Well, I think that Zoom is better because it has gallery view, and also you can do this thing with breakouts where you can put people in the groups, into groups in Zoom, and like put them in a group to talk about something for a few minutes at a time.
Okay.
This is in theory going to mean that when we start online teaching properly, start online like Zoom classes on Monday, that it's going to be seamless. I can imagine what it's going to be like. I'm going to really be needing that MegaCan next Friday. Let's just say that.
Right. So let's just stick to the main story briefly before we get into the... Because we want to get the facts out there first. And that's because that's why people are here.
You do, apparently.
Let's just get the facts out and then we can start like wittering on like we normally do. So Merkel had a big meeting with the 16 state premiers, the upshot of which there will be new regulations. But, of course, these are often contingent on the states. Anyway, the new regulations are retailers smaller than 800 square metres will be allowed to open under the current physical distancing rules on April the 20th. Schools will slowly reopen their doors on May the 4th. Presumably not. They don't literally open the doors slowly. They will they will just open them gradually. They probably mean gradually. With pupils in their last years of primary and secondary school. So 2 years are opening slowly. And they must also have a strict hygiene plan in place. Hair salons can resume business on May the 4th. If strict protective measures are observed, the normal stuff, large events, sports, concerts, cultural events will remain banned until August the 31st. And bars, restaurants, daycare centres, theatres and cinemas will stay closed until further noticed. Protective masks are strongly recommended but not mandatory in shops and on public transportation. Although Saxony, the state of Saxony, has now made it mandatory to wear a mask in shops and public transport. And also Germany's strict border controls will stay in place for at least 20 more days there.
Wow.
That is the facts.
Okay.
What would you like to comment?
Briefly on the mask thing, I think it's a really interesting debate. And I actually bought a mask today. Well, my lovely friend, who is really good with her sewing machine, delivered me some lovely little teddy rabbits that she's making, and also a mask that I requested. So I have a mask now. It's floral, because I thought that was maybe the least alarming to my students if they see me in it. The other one, I didn't want to look medical. Because the medical thing, what I think is interesting, like, it from what I understand from the endless medical podcasts I've been listening to, is that it's debatable how much protection they provide for the mask wearer. What they can provide is protection for other people if you happen to sneeze all over them on the bus or have a violent coughing fit on the bus or whatever. But I also think that it's very much like they want us to wear masks to kind of have a visible reminder in public spaces that there is this virus happening.
Oh, you think it's psychological?
Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that necessarily in like, because there is some protection. And I also think that the psychological thing is, that is also like an important, you have to have people have it present in their minds that there is this risk around.
Yeah.
So I think maybe part of it.
Well, judging by my brief walk around Tempelhofer Veld just now, it doesn't seem like people have it very present in their mind.
Yeah, it does. I have been in Tempelhofer Veld a few times, and also in Hasenheide. That's not far from where I live. And so I go on my kind of daily, on my constitutional around there. And I do get very het up about things, but I do think the vast majority of people are sticking by the guidelines.
They're staying away from each other, yeah.
And you do see, it's just the problem is in Kreuzberg and Neukölln, there's just a lot of people. So even if everybody is just out in twos or their family, there's just bloody loads of us.
I don't know. I just felt like it wasn't really a dark pandemic type mood amongst the population. I think that was more in my head. Because when I'm at home,
it was underwhelming from a dystopian point of view.
Yeah, I was expecting sort of a more like fear and dread and misery out in Tempelhofer Veld, and not really. Can't
people
report
were just
that.
1.5 meters away from each other.
They were
enjoying
more. Yeah, they were more or less 1.5 meters away. Not. I mean, I didn't get a tape measure out, but.
I am considering getting a sort of a stick.
A 1.5 meter long stick.
Also, I think it would be good to have a stick where you knew exactly what 1.5 meters was. And I could kind of carry it around.
Okay.
I think I'm going to get one for school. I'm going to decorate it with like tassels and stuff so it doesn't look scary.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
It sounds like I like teach tiny children. I'm teaching like... 17-year-olds mainly. They don't care if my stick is tassels. They just think I'm weird.
But flowers on your mask, and you won't.
Flowers on my mask, tassels on my Abstand stick.
Okay.
I don't give a shit.
Let's go back to this
Zoom call. I'd love to be on it. If you could picture all the leaders of the Bundesländer plus Mutti Merkel in the middle there.
She probably has she's probably like in the big picture in the middle, and then they're all around the outside.
All around her, like little satellites. Okay. Yeah. Now, how do we think I'm getting? I'm trying to envisage how my lessons are going to look next week. I'm going to be playing the role of Mutti Merkel, and I can imagine there's maybe going to be some dissent, maybe some arguments. This is what usually happens. Any of that? At this big meeting, is everybody going, what's happening?
Well, some state premiers are a little bit more bullish about relaxing these rules than other state premiers.
How dare they?
So,
who are these people?
Among the stricter ones are Markus Söder of the CSU, the head of Bavaria. He's more like...
talking the other day in front of a really like Bavarian backdrop of kind of, you know, those old things, a little... metal flags and things on them.
And amongst the laxer state premiers is Armin Laschet, a state premier of North Rhine-Westphalia, who really just wants to open all the schools as soon as possible. And it's an interesting situation politically because both of those people are considered potential chancellor candidates.
Not Söder, I didn't know about that. Dear God.
Oh, yeah. And I think they've both, like, strategically tried to find, like, what will make them look like strong leaders, you know? And Söder has gone for full clamp down, lockdown, as his, like, way of profiling, making himself clear. And then, yeah.
To be fair, though, is there a relationship between what they're saying and perhaps the number of cases in these Bundesländer, because I know that Bavaria, for instance, has a relatively high case number.
I don't know necessarily. I think, but so is North Rhine-Westphalia. Has also North Rhine-Westphalia is really densely populated. It's the most densely populated part of Germany, and it's loads of people. So I don't know if that is necessarily the case. I just think that, it's just interesting politically because Laschet was always seen as like a more of a Merkel ally, and now he's kind of defying her a bit by being a bit
kicking,
you know,
off in his little like panel on the Zoom call. Oh God!
The Stuttgarter Zeitung newspaper called him Armin Laschet the Barger, according to the Guardian.
The Barger.
The Barger, because he barges forward like a big barge.
Language, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't mean that, but dear Lord. Okay.
Merkel appeared to hint at her opposition to Laschet's stance on Wednesday when she warned against rushing ahead to end the lockdown. That's from The Guardian. So there's that. Wow. You can see that they're kind of jostling for position ahead of the next election. If, as long as we're still alive, if we're all still alive next year, then that will be
still alive.
Tell us about the schools.
Oh, God. All right. Yeah, so schools is one of the big things that came out of the new measures, and it's all kind of quite complicated.
So what is going to happen to you? What does this all mean for you?
So this is the thing. So they had basically this big meeting, this big Zoom call with all the people on Wednesday, and they say these kind of broad brushstrokes like, okay, schools open from 4th of May, and then everybody goes off and tries to work out what the hell that's going to mean for their Bundesland. And in general, what's happening is, as we said, the sort of not important classes, but classes that they've deemed to be important, so grade 6 and grade 10 and grade 9, because they all have exams coming up either this year or within a year, they're all going to start going back from the 4th of May. But Berlin then has had to do things a little bit differently, because in Berlin, unlike most other Bundesländer, I think it happens in Brandenburg as well, they have big year 10 exams called the MSA, the Mittlerer Schulabschluss. So that's actually starting. So we're getting them in from the 27th, a week earlier. And of course, the Abitur exams, which we've discussed before, and I've sort of discussed my kind of like, maybe we could cancel them or not have them or whatever. No, they are going forward as planned, which means that they actually start on Monday, some of them.
Oh, right.
And in Berlin, that means that on Monday, in the midst of all of this, the first people coming out of like this serious, serious lockdown are teenagers who have to go in and sit what will probably be a like multiple R exam in Latin. Latin Leistungskurs is the first exam on Monday, and I just think that's a horrendous thing to do to anybody.
Yeah.
Because there's been all this like, will they, won't they, whatever, and now they have to go in and sit this on
bloody hell. I'm glad I don't have to do Latin on Monday.
And there could be other
it's a stressful enough situation as it is, and then you have to know all your declensions.
I know. I don't know Latin. I can't help it.
Like, what are you gonna fucking hell conjugate the word, conjugate the verb, oh, you might die. Like, how do they concentrate in that situation? And you've got hormones. It must be awful.
It's a really, really shit time to be a teenager right now in Germany, because essentially, and remember, teenagers are really struggling at this time of life with rebelling against rules and against authority, and they are constantly, anyone who works with teenagers will know, and rightly so, and they question rules and they struggle with following rules, and this is all part of growing up. And now they are locked into being this kind of, in this situation where rules are super important and they keep changing. And so they're basically like, okay, well, what is allowed? What can I do? What can I get away with? And we're like, no, not that. Can't see your friends. No, can't go and spend the night with your girlfriend. No. Okay, so what can I do? Well, you can go back to school soon and you can go and start doing your exams as of Monday. In you go.
In you go.
That is just... it's a horrible thing to do to teenagers.
Yeah.
And so the students' union are up in arms. I can't remember the name of the head of the students' union, but he basically said of the Berlin health minister, what is her name? Scheres? Should really know that.
We'll fill in the names later. Don't worry about this. I'll dub in the names later. It doesn't matter. Go on. What did she say about her? Like, what did the one that we don't know the name of say about the other one we don't know the name of?
Must have lost her mind, is what he said.
Really?
And a Berlin student, a student at a gymnasium, so like a grammar school in Berlin, this week brought an emergency appeal to the court to legally challenge whether she has to sit these Abitur exams in light of the current crisis. the court has rejected that emergency appeal, saying that she was not able to say that the guidelines, you know, because they've said, okay, yes, we're going to go ahead with the abitur, but we're going to fulfill the hygiene and distance and all of these guidelines in accordance with the law.
Well, how would they do hygiene in a school?
Apparently, 700 pairs of gloves are being donated to Berlin schools. No masks, because obviously those don't exist. So, I mean, our school has sent out a thing to ask people to sew masks. But again, it's a strange situation. And then, so for the exams, there's going to be 8 to, in certain circumstances, a maximum of 10 people in the room. So this obviously has huge impact on how these exams were planned to be carried out, because usually for written exams, you can put however many kids in a room and then have people doing the invigilation. But now it has to be like a maximum of 10 people in a room with 2 meters between the desks and, you know, kind of disinfect. I don't know exactly, but I think that those seem to be the main rules, is the Abstand rules.
Right.
But I can understand students, because if they're as sort of clued up as any of us on this, these laws are not tried and tested pandemic COVID-19 resistant laws. We don't really know if any of this is going to, we seem to know that the Abstand thing is working and all of this, but we don't really know. And as you say, how can students concentrate under this? Also, and what is very interesting is teenagers are not adults. And even the older ones, and that was kind of the argument for maybe bringing the older classes in, but also because of the exams, was that the very, very little kids can't really understand those rules, which is understandable. But also teenagers do not move through life and move through the world in exactly the same way as adults do. They are much more impulsive. They don't always think through their actions. And particularly when they're at moments of high stress, it's really difficult to say, okay, so we've changed all these rules with how you interact with your peers. You're going to show up on this day, but you're not going to be able to touch any of them or hug them or do, you know, they just do any of the ways that you normally interact with each other. And then you're going to have to go in and do this incredibly stressful Latin exam for 5 hours or whatever it is.
5 hours?
Well, some of the exams are 5 hours for the Abitur. I don't know if the Latin one is.
Right.
The German Leistungskurs. So there's Leistungskurs and Grundkurs at Abitur. Leistungskurs is like your two big subjects. And then you have other kind of subjects that you study as well. And they're long exams. They're like 4 or 5 hours.
Jesus. I mean, it's really mad, really, isn't it? That they're forcing these kids to do this. They could just, why can't they just do it in like 6 months or next year? Or why can't they? What would happen?
Well, this is part of the thing, because it has this massive knock-on effect. And part of the problem with having this not be a federal decision is, from what I understand, then states are worried about, so for instance, if Berlin says, right, we are not doing the exam part of the Abitur, we are going to base what they get on those two, you know, they've already done two-thirds of their, they've got two-thirds of the points, the overall points that will happen for Abitur, right? I think we spoke about this before. So these exams make up one-third.
Yeah.
Okay. These 5 exams that they have to do, 3 written exams and 2 oral exams. But there was a lot of worry about, if, say, Berlin does away with the exam part, are they going to be as eligible to get into university if they want to go and study in Bayern, down in Bavaria, and that kind of thing? And will different Bundesländer have then different rules for which Abitur a student did in which Bundesland?
Well, that doesn't sound like a really good reason, does it? I mean,
the
universities will understand if they haven't done the exam. I mean, like, they would.
Well, you say that. And then I think this is just really indicative of this thing that we've talked about before. This really, like, the inflexibility around qualifications in Germany. And the fact that if you cannot prove it down to this one sort of piece of paper or this exact format, that there's no kind of leeway and no real ability to look at things on like a case by case or an exceptional basis. It is baffling to me coming from the UK education system, where they have kind of said that they're going to do the exams, not do the exams, but still provide the qualifications this year. And that is a thing not without its flaws. But for Germany to be doing this, to be asking kids to come in, what, like 4 or 5 days after a meeting where they weren't sure what was going to be happening with schools, to sit exams when they've already got like so much of these this qualification under their belt, and they just kind of be made to, it's nuts, and I don't think it's fair. And then you know, if the kids are in a risk group, then they don't have to come in, or if they're feeling sick or they have fever or any of this, and it's such added stress for them at a time.
Yeah,
they really don't need added stress.
Yeah, we should just write this whole year off and start again next year.
Well,
just be easier.
I have got the current class that I have that are doing this, and I only have, you know, I work at a very small school, and there's only a few of them, and they're just the loveliest, loveliest people. And I keep joking with them that I was going to fail them all this year, so they had to repeat. So they can just do it again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
But yeah, we should just. But then how do we write it off? And this, I think, is the thing that would throw the German authorities into an absolute panic, because that's not something that they do here. We're not flexible about paperwork. We're not flexible about the qualifications that people have. Yeah. We're not. We can't look at a teacher, for instance, who's got loads of experience already teaching the German curriculum, talking about myself here. And say, oh, we could probably just allow her to teach in schools. She's already doing that job in private schools.
I mean, I just think it's crazy. Because when I think to my A-levels, which are like a couple of decades ago, and a bit more, none of it mattered. Like, I can't, like, it mattered at the time. But none of it matters now.
Yeah.
I could have, you know, it doesn't seem worth risking the lives of loads of people just so that you can do these few exams. I mean, because they're, you know, you're risking their parents' lives, because they have to go home and see their parents then, don't they?
And this is the thing, and we don't know, you know, how many of these children are living with an elderly relative.
Right.
And they're now, do I go and risk my Abitur and maybe not getting into university in bloody Munich? Or do I risk killing grandma?
Yeah.
Because I go into a risky situation and sit in a room with other people. And I do have to say, like, the other side of this is that the longer that the schools remain closed, it again widens the gap between advantaged students and disadvantaged students. Because there are students who have lots of access to internet and devices and have their own bedroom to study in. And there are students who do not have any of that. There are some charity campaigns already happening for particularly Neukölln, where people can donate their old laptops or anything for students, because they've discovered like a scary proportion of students do not have the technology to access online learning really in any capacity. So that's also something that really worries us as well. because it's yes, in some ways, like a short period of time does not matter very much, and particularly like in some students' schooling, if they're already doing okay, then this kind of weird period, if they really do any of the work their teachers set them or not, it's not going to matter that much. If their parents are engaged with them and talking to them and maybe giving them other projects or, you know, whatever. But for some students who already struggle, who are disadvantaged in a variety of ways, from like learning difficulties to like socioeconomic status, all of that kind of stuff, if they're studying in their second or third language, that gap is already so wide, and this is just making it wider, and that sucks. Yeah, that's my
that's rubbish, isn't it?
Damned if we do, damned if we don't. Synopsis school opening and why it's incredibly shit to be a teenager right now. Or even younger, they're bringing in the year sixes.
Yeah, why did the primary school have to come in? What is that all about? How old are they?
I don't fully understand why it's year six, because I don't know, really. Because, to be honest...
Well, they're not doing exams, are they?
No. And so in Germany, we still have the grammar school system. Which that's a whole other series of podcasts on why I think that's a shit idea.
Okay.
Which means that students are selected based on their grades, whether they go to like integrated secondary school or the gymnasium grammar school, which are the more academically challenging schools. And it's... but those are based, whether a student gets the recommendation to go to a gymnasium is based on your grade from the last semester of year five and the first semester of year six. So they've already done that. So I don't know why they would bring year sixes in.
Just
I don't know. I haven't read any.
It's just like this obsession with Bildung and schools and stuff. Anyway, you know what else it's shit to be in
what?
Germany? A hairdresser.
It is, yeah.
They've decided to open the hairdressers up for some reason.
Is that ever... Because I feel that is just ludicrous.
How can that be considered an essential business,
a hairdresser? Well, I don't think it is being considered an essential business. I think it's being considered a business... an industry that they can just throw under the bus because they don't want to subsidize them on the government. So they can just like let the hairdressers at it. And
yeah, I know. Yeah. So the hairdressers are opening on May the 4th. And you can get, and you're supposed to like keep. But that is like one of the most, like, you could open other kinds of shops before you'd open a hairdresser. Because it's like, that's where you were in close contact.
I just think that Merkel probably doesn't think a lot of people who go to the, like, hairdressers. And she's just like, well, let's just get rid of that industry. Let's just put it under.
Because people aren't going to go anyway. Most people aren't going to make appointments at the hairdresser anyway, are they?
No, this is the thing. Like, I may or may not equally got into my hairdresser, who's a good friend of mine, like just before lockdown. And actually, other businesses were locked down before hairdressers. And she had a few cancellations. So I got myself in. And I wouldn't do that now because I'm much more, I don't know. Anyway. She owns a salon in Kreuzberg, and she was quite pissed off that they hadn't locked them down yet, because it basically means that they're not eligible then for any government funding. So it seems like they've allowed hairdressers to shop for this kind of like minimum amount of time. And now they're saying, okay, you can open again, but you have to keep hygiene measures, which presumably the hairdressers have to pay for these themselves. And second of all, like, what hygiene? What?
Yeah.
You cannot keep a 1.5 meter abstand. Like, what are they going to do? Tie a pair of scissors to the end of a stick and then have a string?
Yeah.
Where they pull the, like, what's that?
Yeah, I wouldn't go to that hairdresser anyway. They'd make a right mess.
And people are not going to go. Like, even before it was officially locked down, they were empty because it was like just cancellations. And it just seems like this really nasty, like, they've gone down a list of like, well, who are we going to fuck over here?
Yeah.
And maybe Markle's not. I mean, I don't want to. I'm somewhere. I spend a. The hairdresser, I would say, is one of my luxuries.
Right.
Hairdresser, mega hands. And maybe people don't like see the industry as something that. I don't know. It's a weird one.
I don't. Yeah. Anyway, that's that. That was great. The lime splash. I really liked it. Actually, went down a treat.
It's quite funny doing this over Zoom because I can obviously see like my face. And at the beginning of this Zoom chat, I was like, oh, you look quite, you know, reasonable. Because also the other thing is, as a person who's like still trying to date during COVID, I'm trying to try out all the different devices and platforms to see which one I would look the most attractive on for online dates. And so this nice thing, but like a mega can and a rant in, I'm just like, my hair's gone all down and my face is all red. Usually I don't have to look at my own face while I'm doing this podcast.
Oh, well, I switched my own face off. I'm blissfully unaware. There's a button on the side. You switch your own face off. I am blissfully unaware of what I look like. It's the best decision I've made this evening, probably. And the other one was buying a Jim Beam Lime Splash, which I'm really enjoying.
You recommend the Jim Beam Lime Splash.
It's a lot better than that weird Bacardi Oak thing that I bought last week.
You didn't like that, did you?
No, it was horrible. I thought, Oak Bacardi sounds great, doesn't it? It'll be woody because it's whiskey and wood is supposed to be like a nice flavor combination.
Yeah, but rum, as you pointed out, is not whiskey.
No.
So you would recommend the Jim Beam Lime Splash. I would recommend the Jim Beam Black Tea Lemon.
Yeah. So maybe we'll drop a little email to the Jim Beam media organization, meet their media contact and see if they'll get us.
I think we should be getting. All I want is just a slab of megas delivered.
I know, you've been listening to all this German politics for 2 years. When are you going to get a free mega can out of it?
Free mega can? Like, honestly, I've been doing so much work for them.
Yeah.
And okay, sometimes we like slightly denigrate some of the mega cans, but nowhere near as negative as we are about like every German politician we We're never going to get any of that, like, intercultural funding.
No.
We're
not going to get anything from the German, from the Berlin Kulturstiftung or something. Whatever. So they might as well give us a Jim. They might as well go for the private sector and see if Jim Beam might be interested in.
Work for us.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
Well, that's. I think that's that was a fascinating half hour. Maybe we could wrap it up now.
Yes, I think we can. Sorry. Yes. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Please do like the Ex Berliner website has like really great stuff and a daily update of Corona related things, all the stuff you need to know
with the fancy charts and stuff. Where you can see how many people have died.
Yeah.
and recovered and got better. So and not just not it's like, you know.
Yeah. But the other thing that I would like to say is please feel for the teenagers. If you see any of them on public transport next week, if you have to also be taking public transport, you poor things, smile at them from behind your mask. Smile with your eyes. Unless they're gathering in big groups and fucking about in the parks, in which case, call the police.
Call the police. Get the authorities out.
I will if I see a big group of teenagers in the park. I haven't yet, but I will march up to them and call the police. I think I'm just missing policing teenagers, basically. But yeah, smile with your eyes at them. They're having a rough time. But stay safe, everybody.
Stay safe.
Bleib gesund und munter.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
Bye.